We're studying how God made all things for himself. Of course, being Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. We've been looking at the mind, the heart, the inner being. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've looked at the heart, looked at the mind. Today we're going to look somewhat at the imagination. One of the greatest fears of the Cold War, the war between the U.S. and Russia, the Cold War never saw conflict, was the thought and fear that someone, some third world poor country would gain access to weapons of mass destruction, nuclear ability. That's a real thought. Now keep that same idea in mind, looking at the mind, the pure mind, like God created man with. You can do a lot of things. Noah, with a more of a pure mind than we had, I may mention him and his three sons built a great ship. And Lucifer was granted, he was full of wisdom. And look at what he brought about. Gets into the wrong hands or the wrong use. Can do a lot of bad things. Man's come up with many inventions. One sinner can wreck a whole lot of good. When it came time to build the tabernacle and the things of worship, the ark of incense, the mercy seat, that was for God's glory. It wasn't going to suffice just anybody build just anything. God specifically gave a person the wisdom and knowledge to do what the task required. In Exodus chapter 35, verse 30, the children of Israel brought willing offerings unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring, for all the manner of the work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He set a specific person over the work and gave that person the ability to do the work. Had to devise works in gold and silver and brass. He didn't have things to do it with. He had to come up with them. He hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Like I say, this was to glorify God, not just anything would do. It wouldn't look trashy. It was, I'm sure, very uniform and very well done. Daniel, when it come time for interpreting visions, we read Daniel 9:22. Daniel was given the ability to do it. Not just anyone can be trusted with this great ability, there in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 4, speaking about the great red dragon, and his tail drew 1/3 part of the stars of heaven, which we interpret as angels, and did cast them to the earth. He had that ability. When Job was tried, the wicked one had the ability to cause a great wind. He's called in the 9th chapter of this book of Revelation, in the 11th verse, had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon, that is to say a destroyer. Yeah, the mind gets in the wrong hands, I guess is what I'm saying. In the prophet Isaiah, I was reading a thing yesterday talking about during the Holocaust, the professors were indifferent. They were free thinkers. We mentioned free thinkers, exactly what it gets to. And World War II is a good example of what comes from free thinking. But there's those out there that blame God for all the troubles of the world. Could he prevent the wars? I'm sure he's prevented many wars. But he also allows man to see what man will do if left to man, which is not good. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. These are passages we've looked at many times. Man needs to see that the mind can't always be trusted. It's got a lot of ability. Verse 7, Isaiah 43, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him for his glory." Not to be a glory for ourselves. Verse 25, "Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember his sins." It's for, when we pray, it's for the Lord's sake. It's not for us. We benefit from it. There in verse 45, verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." See, if people read all Scripture, they'd have, if they just read it, they'd have an understanding, but they don't always read it. They like to blame God for the man's problems. God will not be blamed. Man's sins brings the evils. Yeah. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." But they reject. It's that simple. Won't be anybody in heaven that didn't want to be there. "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness." You can't lie. "And shall not return thou, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." You can do it willingly or later unwillingly. He's a great God, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure." He's already foretold how the events of the earth world is going to come about in the end times. If he broke them, he'd be a liar. They're going to come. Right. Jeremiah, during the days of Israel of old, when they'd gone into apostasy right before they went into Babylonian captivity due to their sins, look in the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. I think it's the third chapter. Yeah, the third chapter, verse 17 of Jeremiah. Now, he'd already said, or he did say in chapter 5, verse 1, if they found a just, righteous man that executed the judgment and seeketh the truth, I will pardon the city. He didn't pardon the city. He couldn't find one just man. But the problem was, and Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He was emotional. The problem was the imagination of their evil heart. Jeremiah 3:17. "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and the nations shall be gathered into it to the name of the Lord. To Jerusalem neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." It's the imagination got them into the trouble they was in, is the point I'm trying to make. "In those days shall the house of Judah walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, and the land that I have given them for an inheritance." The point that I was trying to make there is the imagination of their evil heart. chapter 23 and 17 of the same book. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh in the imagination of their own evil heart, no evil shall come upon you. And once again, it's the imagination of their own evil heart. Actually, in that passage there, I think there's about 8 places where it speaks about the imagination of their own evil heart. Talks about their folly. They walk in lies. Verse 14, the prophets of Jerusalem and horrible thing, they commit adultery and walk in lies and strengthen the hands of the evildoers. All these things begin with their imagination, is the point that I'm trying to make. We need a clean imagination, and we need to control our imaginations. We live in a day and age, you need to be creative. You need to be controlling your imaginations. The book of Micah, the minor prophets. Micah, that's a book that foretells of Christ's entry into the world. But in the Micah chapter 2, verse 1, woe to them that devise iniquity, that work evil upon their beds. How are they doing this? With their imagination. They come up with a thought, and then they cultivate that thought. They covet fields and take them by violence. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. On the other hand, we read about Job. Would Job be broken? Would he fall into sin? He didn't sin with his lips. Found the passage that I'm looking for. Said he would not. Chapter 27, verse 5, the book of Job. I'll find it in a minute. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. He hated sin. Now, he was a sinner, yes. But he wasn't going to give one inch. We must keep our emotions and imaginations under control. It's a known fact that your good teachers, your successful teachers and professors, never allow their classrooms to get in an uproar or get out of line. They stay on the subject. Discipline. On the other hand, you have the people like Hitler who was a dreamer. Let dreams go too far, and that's what happens. Pressures of the war leads to one thing after another, and look what happened. Makes me think about that verse there in the book of Jude, the 8th verse. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Hitler was a good example of that. As human beings, we can be quite emotional. God created the emotions, and He meant us to use the emotions for His glory, for His good. What was the chief dislike about the church at Laodicea, in which we find ourselves right in the middle of right this present time? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He wants his church cold or hot. If it's cold, it's dead. But if it's hot, that's what he wants. He gives us these emotions. God created them for his own glory. Jesus himself even wept. John 11:35, everybody knows that's shortest verse in scripture. Made mention last lesson there in Acts chapter 2, where they, the Jews, when they realized that they crucified their long-awaited Messiah, they were pricked in their heart. Now, when they heard this, after they were told in verse 36 of Acts 2, they crucified Jesus, who is the Lord in Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. It's kind of like what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 7, sorrow into repentance. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Like Brother Job brought out, woe unto me, as Isaiah said. We say that. I say it all the time. Lord only can help us. We can only trust in His mercy. That's emotions. We read how it repented the Lord that He'd made man on earth, and it grieved Him at His heart in Genesis 6. The Lord Jesus wept. The Holy Spirit we read of in Ephesians can be grieved. Yes, we're to be emotional people. Emotions are not a product of sin, but a part of man's original being. David was often emotional. What was emotion's original design? If we think man was to dress the garden and have fellowship with his Creator, love his wife. There are emotions of love, hate, envy. Think about emotions of fear when Belshazzar saw the writing upon the wall, saw the fingers write it, his loins cut loose, as it says. His knees smote together. He was afraid. He was that without excuse also. We think about the pride. Nebuchadnezzar, is this not the great Babylon that I've built? And that brought upon him lycanthropy, as it's called. Humility, wrath. We see all these emotions throughout Scripture. We're to be in control of our emotions. How are we to utilize emotions? In Romans chapter 12, let love be without dissimulation. Love our neighbor, love our friends, love our family. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. When are we to, we're not to be afraid, we're told in one place. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. If we fear that it's evil, let that fear tell us something. Stay away from it. Scriptures have all the answers, all that we need. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. Instant in prayer. I think I read verse 14, Romans chapter 13. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. Keep our emotions in line with Scripture. As David wrote, hate every false way. David, getting back to David, he was indeed an emotional person. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. That's kind of emotions that David saw. Now, when she was on the other foot, they really didn't. They were out to kill him. These just give us a few ideas of how we are to control our emotions. Concerning spiritual things, turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. Verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Set it in your minds and hearts. Settle it in your minds and hearts, as Christ said in one place in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 21:14. You're going there, you're going to listen. You're not going there to rant and rave. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice. It says down there in verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Then a lot of vows made that were broken. Had we only settled it in our minds and hearts what we was going to do and done it. This requires predetermination. In the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. This is one way to control your emotions. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, the problem here was there was those that should have been teachers. We've seen in verse 12 had need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. But if one is of strong meat, the same will be able to control their emotions. That's strong meat. That's well skilled in God's word. A full age. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're going to be able to understand emotions. This will keep you out of trouble. Like I say, it requires predetermination. There's many instances of emotion found in Scripture. A lot of them surrounded Joseph. Think about Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. They were terrified. Yeah, I'm the one you sold into slavery. When he seen his father again after many years. Those emotions, they get to us when we read about it. Imagine how it was when they acted them out for real, as we call it. Moses' meekness, Belshazzar's fear, as I said a while ago when he seen the writing on the wall. We think about little children, how they're emotional. They cry at the death of a frog or a mouse, when others are hurt. They're meek and humble. You think about how we got it backwards. We teach children to be adults. Christ taught adults to be children. There in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. We should always keep in mind. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. That's how we are to control our emotions. Let not emotions make us hate, lust, sin. God created us with emotional capacity for reasons that bring honor and glory to Him. We must weigh our desires. Man, it's not like man to... Man learns how to put on an act. There in Matthew 15, since we're there, verse 7 and 8. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We should always keep in mind this verse. Are we sincere? God knows. I mean, he's referring to the people of Israel here, how that they were hypocrites, drawing near to him with their speech, but their heart was far from honoring him. How they treated Christ, they were envious. It's even, it tells us in the book of John that Pilate knew that they delivered Christ out of envy. As special as our emotions may be, they're also tainted by sin. Cannot be trusted. We're depraved. That means every faculty about man's been tainted with sin. Man thinks the heartfelt love, sometimes when young people fall in love, and it's lust. It's not love at all. As I said, the church at Laodicea was cold, basically. Lukewarm, as we've already read that Christ wanted it hot or cold. Do we weep for others? Do we hurt for others? Do we hurt for enemies? Do we love our enemies? Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Tears are a good thing. It says in the book of Isaiah, 38th chapter, concerning Hezekiah, when the Lord told him to put his house in order, he was going to die. He told him he'd seen Hezekiah's tears, and he granted him 15 more years. When somebody's in tears, usually it's heartfelt. Consider, and I think Brother Joe brought this out here some time back, when we see the Lord in the taking out in the rapture, or when we pass this world, it's going to be emotional. How emotional is it going to be? Well, we could read it there in the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, verse 9. Zechariah 12:9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. There's going to be a lot of them, and I'm hoping that America will not be one, but I'm afraid it will be one. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Be no doubt who this is. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. That means the loss of their only son, from what I understand. One mourneth for his only son and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Now it could be twofold. You got those that seeing what they've done, and those seeing that he's coming to judge, and they might be on the wrong side of judgment also. Christ will have absolute rule. And for the wicked, that's not going to be good. But on the other hand, for the righteous, it will be good. Emotions are amazing. What's missing in the church, what's missing in funerals today, marriages, it's coldness. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's Matthew 24:12. The heart controls our actions. We need to be on guard. Keep the heart, as the wise man said. It controls our actions. Actions determine habits. We do crazy stuff as human beings. The heart can easily be swayed. In closing there in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Imagination. Emotion. What happened to John the Baptist? Well, when Herod saw his young girl dance, he got emotional. Made vows, promises that cost, in the long run, John the Baptist's head. Out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Don't let emotions defile you. Let's look at the heart God has created for His own glory.